Thank you. May be seated. If you would take your copies of God's Word and open them, please, to Luke chapter 22. Our text today, Luke 22 and verses 24 through 30. Luke 22 and beginning in verse 24. Hear now the word of the Lord. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would take that word now, the sharp sword that it is, and wield it by the power of your Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and lives. Lord, to convict us, change us for your glory. Lord, help us, we pray, this day. We do not want to hear clever words of the preacher. We want to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. As you pour forth your word, we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You know, last Sunday, I think we had a very good worship service. By God's providence, he brought us in Luke's gospel to the account of the institution of the Lord's Supper. The scripture readings, the responsive reading, the confession, the hymns, the preaching of the word were all focused on the Lord's Supper. And then as the body of Christ, we came to the Lord's table together. I think it was very moving. I think the mood was very reverent, and I was very pleased with the service. But can you imagine how you would have felt if immediately after I pronounced the benediction, if several of you had gotten in an argument about who is doing the most for the church, about who is serving the most, working the hardest? Such a thing would be unthinkable, would it not? It's a little bit like the old song by the Oak Ridge Boys. Nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everybody wants to be the lead singer in the band. It's hard to get a bead on what's divine when everybody's pushing for the head of the line. But that's exactly what we see in our text today. The Lord Jesus Christ had just instituted the Lord's Supper, had just pronounced the new covenant fulfilled in his own blood. And a dispute arose among them as which of them would be considered the greatest. Years from now, I'll be considered the greatest apostle. I'll be considered the greatest Sunday school teacher or preacher. You know, the real tragedy there is that Jesus is staring right at the cross. He's just shared with them the fulfillment of God's covenant promises in him, the Lamb of God, and he's looking directly at the cross. And all they can think about is theirself. The real tragedy in that is it's not just the disciples. The real tragedy is probably the fact that in the church, not just this church, any church, the pecking order, the importance is a thing that far too many people give far too much consideration to, and sometimes it leads to unchristian behavior and even unseemly behavior, like we see here among the disciples. Don't you find it sort of amazing? I do. That these guys had just spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. They had been instructed by the teacher. They had heard the very word of God. They had seen the miracles that Jesus performed. With the word, he could heal. He could calm the storm. He could create food for thousands upon thousands of people. And yet, they descend into this right after the institution of the Lord's Supper. Jesus tells us the reason. The kings of the Gentiles lorded over them. And those who exercise authority call themselves benefactors. You see, what Jesus is saying is this is the way of the world. The way of the world is those who are important have authority. Those who are important have power. Those who want to be elevated among other people have to show forth their position and power and prestige. Our world clamors for attention. People love attention. They love to be recognized. They love to be noticed. They love fame. They love celebrity. Thus the popularity of YouTube and these social platforms like Facebook, where people can put themselves out there in front of people. They can achieve their 15 minutes of fame in this life. Some of it's not that famous if you've looked at any of it, but they have this self-centered desire to display themselves before people. There's a self-centeredness, not a God-centeredness. There's this attention on me. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I can do. This is an infection in our society, and it's not just in society. It has made its way into the church in so many different ways. But as David Wells said, Christ's gospel calls sinners to surrender their self-centeredness. We read numbers of passages this morning from our responsive reading that talk about humility and putting others first and looking for the best for others, and that we're one body and that, you know, together we do these things. That's the way of Christ's body. That's the way of the church. But ambition and self-esteem and pride are buried in the heart of man. Think back to the original sin. What was it? You too can be like God. You can be in charge. You can make the decisions. And that's buried in our hearts, every one of us. And the heart is deceptive above all things. The heart is deceitful. We're not that bad. Other people do that stuff. I don't do it. We convince ourselves. But secretly, we look to elevate self, to gain attention, to be looked up to be praised. Let me ask you a couple of probing kind of questions. We confessed this earlier this morning. Do you rejoice at your neighbor's prosperity? Do you rejoice when someone at work gets the promotion that you wanted so badly? Do you rejoice at other churches that are growing by leaps and bounds and just expanding and prospering while we seem to struggle along, inching our way up slowly, slowly. But are you happy for the others? Are you happy for those who are doing well? Are you happy for those who seem to be in the prime of life at advanced ages when you are suffering? Do you consider others better than yourself? You know, those are difficult questions. Those are things we need to consider. But Jesus tells us that we should look to promote others. We should promote others and not ourselves. Well, that's not the way of the world. That's not the way we're taught. That's not the way we are raised. That's not the way our society functions. So, how does the Christian function in contrast to the world? Because we all live in the world. We all have to go out there and make a living. We all have to exist in the world. You know, this is the way of the world. And the disciples were people of the world. And we are people of the world. But what does Jesus say? You are not to be like that. There it is, as plain as day. Yes, that's the way the world operates. Yes, that's the way the kings and the benefactors and the people in authority and power and position, that's the way they operate. But Jesus says, you are not to be like that. Jesus takes the world system and turns it upside down, stands it on its head. If you want to be great, you should be like the youngest, like the least important. If you want to really advance in the kingdom, if you want to be considered as one of the top people, you must make yourself as nothing, like a servant. You must serve others. You know, that's very, very difficult for us to do. Because we are people of the world. We're people with deceitful hearts. We're people who our natural inclination is to promote ourselves. And we have to fight against our natural tendencies and promote other people and to look to other people's good and to praise other people and to seek the lowest place ourselves where we won't be noticed. That's hard. And we don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all have the same financial resources. We are all different. But there are ways in which we can all serve. You know, a pressing need in the church, not just this church, in the church as a whole, a pressing need in the church is to minister to people who are lonely, the aged, the infirm who are locked up in their homes like prisons, the widow, the single mother with no family, those who just would love to hear a voice one day besides their own. And you know, that's a ministry that costs the church and would cost you next to nothing. Might cost you some of your time. Might have to miss a TV program. But it's something that you can do, that everyone can do. And if you go church by church by church and look, there are people there who are lonely. Lonely people who have very little contact with others except when they come to church or Bible study or go to the grocery store. The forgotten people. And that costs nothing. And you don't have to have any special gifts and abilities to do that other than be able to punch the numbers on a telephone or write a card or get in your car and use about $2 worth of gas to go over to their house. You know, so the point of that is serving others doesn't have to be some grand and glorious program developed by the church. It doesn't have to be some thing where you have to make tremendous financial and personal sacrifices. It has to be things, many times they're unnoticed, unseen, unheard. But we don't really like those kind of things because it doesn't really focus much attention on me, does it? Nobody might ever know. The person I visit might have dementia, might not even mention it to anybody, and I would go completely unnoticed, wouldn't I? You know? There's things we can do. That's just one example. But what Jesus lays down for us here is a model for what the Christian community should look like, what his church and his people should look like. It's not a model developed by some church growth guru. It's a model developed by Jesus Christ. And the premier example of that is Jesus himself. Think about that. Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the King of the universe, is among you as one who serves. Jesus Christ left glory unimaginable, attended and praised by 100 million angels to come here and walk this earth. He owned nothing. He literally had nothing but the clothes on his back. And yet he spent his time here serving and ministering to others. This example right here in our text, he is the one sitting at the head of the table. It is by his authority that this sacrament of the new covenant is put in place. And yet, as we saw just a few weeks ago when our brother Jay preached from John 13, at this very meal, before these things happened, Jesus himself knelt down and washed the feet of the disciples. He is, as he said, one who sits at the head of the table, but he's one who serves among them. I didn't see any of the disciples rushing to wash Jesus' feet when he got there. That's the way it should have been. No. The Lord of glory washes their feet. He humbles himself. No self-respecting Pharisee or Sadducee would ever stoop to do that. That was the work of slaves. The servants were to do that. And here is Jesus Christ as one who serves among us. You know what else he did? He left there that night and went to the cross. He came here and made himself nothing. Paul said he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus did that. He endured unimaginable shame and contempt and pain and suffering. And he did all that for his enemies, that they might have eternal life, they might have their sins forgiven. He did that for people who hated him. There's your model. There's your model. We read it in some of the scripture we read earlier this morning. Don't repay evil with evil. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? Repay evil with good. And our premier example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who did that for his people. Now, if you live as a Christian, if you try to follow this model, if you take the lowest place, which is what you should do, Jesus says, take the lowest place, that when the King of Glory comes, he might invite you up to sit in the place of honor. Take the place where you won't be noticed. Serve in the way that is, some people call, demeaning and degrading. Do things to serve others. But when you do that, Jesus says, you do not have to worry that your service and your sacrifice for others will go unnoticed. The disciples are arguing about who's the best of these 11 people. Jesus said, you're going to be a king. Why are you worried about that? I'm going to confer on you a kingdom. The rewards that Jesus gives his people for their faithful service are far in excess of anything that that service could have merited on its own. He gives us far more in return than what we ever gave. In fact, those words that Jesus spoke, I confer on you a kingdom. Those words are linguistically the same as the Old Testament expression, establish a covenant. The Greek word there, diatithemai, is the usual biblical verb for making of a covenant. This is not just some words. This carries with it the weight of any covenant of God, his sure word on this. And the New Testament expression of the covenant is often that of the kingdom of God. He talks to us about the kingdom of God and the things that are going to come in the kingdom of God and our place in the kingdom. Those are covenant terms. And Jesus is promising that for his people, for those who are faithful, for those who put others first, who look to serve others, ignoring their self, not looking for glory for their self, not looking to be noticed for what they do. These things done in secret. But Jesus makes us this promise in Mark 9. Jesus says that not one cup of cold water given in his name will lose its reward. You may never be noticed. The most simple thing that you can do, give somebody a little drink of water. Jesus is making note, and Jesus is promising reward for those who serve others that way. That's the way his community, that's the way his body, that's the way his people work together for his glory. And yet he promises us things that we can't imagine. Those who are closest to the Lord here will be closest to him in glory. Those who obey and submit to the things he asks us to do will be rewarded there. We serve here, we receive rewards there, not here. If you're looking for rewards for what you do in this life, you have the entire wrong motivation. You have not understood what the Lord said here. So let us take our cue, our clue, our methodology from the example of Jesus. Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Lord of glory. who humbled himself and came among us as one who serves, why would we as his people not serve one another? He came as a servant among his own servants. Why would we not serve one another? Why would we not strive to help one another in any way possible? If it's just a phone call, if nothing else, if that's all you can do, that may be the cup of cold water that Jesus has put in your hand to give to someone else. Why is it that most Christians have lists of things that they will not do? I won't work in the nursery. I won't teach Sunday school. I'm not going to work in Bible school. I'm not going to hand out gospel tracts. People think I'm weird. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking to that kind of odd person in the church. I'm going to avoid this person if at all possible. I'm not going to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come into God's house. I'm not going to do those things. I just can't do that. Really. Take the lowest place, the most obscure place, the place where you won't be noticed. You know, I think we don't have an option. There is no choice in these matters. The Lord Jesus Christ compels us. He instructs us. This is what we are to do. Because I did it, he said. You know, this is a hard subject because church has gotten easy. You show up at the appointed time, sit there quietly, go home, you've done your thing. You can come to Sunday school, you can come to Bible study. Same thing. You put in your time, you're free then. Not at all. Not at all, Jesus says. There are people in the body of Christ that are hurting. There are people in the body of Christ that are not in the body of Christ. They're lax in their attendance. There are people who need to be in the body of Christ. Those are the things that we're called to do. Yes, we should assemble for worship. Scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We got to do this. The Lord orders us. We should rejoice in this. This should be a happy time for us to come together as God's people. But you, as God's people, have to leave here. And you are the ones who have to give the cup of cold water. You're the ones who have to make the phone call, make the visit. You know, why is this always someone else's job? Don't have to answer. Just a rhetorical question. It's a good thing. We all agree on it. But somebody else can do that. I'm going to do this because I'm comfortable with this. And people will see me doing this and I'll be recognized for this. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus has just told us. We serve here, we reign there. As Heinrich Bullinger said, here we must. We must serve. But there we will reign. It's as simple as you can make it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us as your people to reach out to others, to forget about self, forget about our pride, forget about self-seeking, praise of men, looking for glory here in the earth. Lord, turn our hearts as your servants to serve our fellow servants. And we have no better picture than our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and made himself nothing for us, who hated him, who were not his people. He came and died for those who were his enemies. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, help us to consider that when we consider things too demeaning or too degrading, too dangerous, whatever for us to do. Lord, let us lay aside our fears and our self-seeking and self-serving and serve you by serving others with our whole heart, without any thought for recognition. But Lord, the recognition comes from you. And Lord, may we indeed hear those marvelous words one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. May it all be for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.